It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Trey, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have someone who has been to one of our cinemas, not just once, but a couple of times, and then have you on the podcast.
Hell yeah.
Usually, you know, as an exhibitor, people are just like, they're all the same, all the cinemas are the same. But you can see the, you know, what we try and do, which is a bit different.
And, I love that. We don't have Picture House in the States, but I have... the Draft House.
Nice,
I don't know if
yes.
you know it, but like, you know, I cherish that and love that, and we need cinemas like that. So to me, it's huge.
I think it's important to see films, especially like It Comes at Night, in the cinema.
I agree.
It's part of that kind of collective hive mind.
I agree.
What's your experience been like when you're sitting in with a regular audience, not people who've maybe worked on the movie?
For this movie?
Yeah.
I can't watch it. I have such a weird relationship with it, man. I watched it once with an audience at a small premiere thing we did in New York, and it was miserable for me.
Oh, really? You're just noticing all of the sort of stuff that's going on behind the camera, maybe.
It is, but it's like, I think more than anything is I can't objectively watch it. And when I watch it, it brings me, because it's a very personal movie, even though not in a literal way.
I was going to say, what have you been through? Oh my God.
I have not been through a diseased apocalypse or anything. But when I see it, it puts my head in the headspace it was in when I wrote it, and it's not a place I like. And so, therefore, I have a really weird relationship with it.
That is fair enough. Have you, but you've been out on stage to talk to the people afterwards, maybe?
And I haven't done that many screenings, probably 3, 4, 5 total. Just talk to people when I can, and, nothing feels better than when people dig it or thinking about it or anything. That's the best.
I guess you might get different, you obviously get different opinions when people are doing Q&A, different perspectives. Are there things that people have brought up which you didn't initially think of when making this film?
I don't know. Not really, but I also haven't done that many of them with this movie, so nothing so far.
Okay, well, you got that to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's when you can take credit for those ideas.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, that was always in there.
Always intended.
Yeah.
It was.
I wanted to ask, because it feels like it's quite soon after your previous movie. What was the journey of this film like? How long did it take for you to write the screenplay and then actually get through production?
To me, it's interlinked with my first movie, Krisha, just because they're all kind of met. Like, Krisha, I tried to make in summer of 2012, and I failed, and I took 2 years turning it into a short film. And in that time, this stuff with this movie happened. Like, I lost my dad, and I wrote this movie. And then Krisha, the short film, played South by Southwest, and I had this script. And I was like, investors are just going to be lined up offering me money to make it. And, of course, no one cared. No one offered me anything. And I got home, and I was like, what am I going to do? And then I started thinking about Krisha and thinking about what that feature was supposed to be and how the short was not that. And everything kind of that I wanted it to be, and it wasn't. And I rewrote Krisha, and then made Krisha, and then we're fortunate enough to have success with that, and people dig it and ask what I want to do. And I had this script, you know, and it was like, I want to do this. So it was sort of clean and simple like that.
It's always great when someone says, what do you want to do next? And you can produce a fully formed
screenplay. Well, here I go. That's the best, man. I can't imagine, like, trying to write when I would... Because Krisha, we did a festival circuit, like, over a year, you know? And it was amazing. One of the best years of my life. But I couldn't imagine trying to write this or something in that time.
What, did it... When you went back to it, did you change the screenplay at all? Or?
Yeah, it was little... the first draft of me spewed out in 3 days, and it was like handwritten in a notebook. It just looked like utter gibberish. You would think I was a crazy person, but I could understand it, thankfully. And then I spent about 2 weeks sort of transcribing that to screenplay format and typing it up. And even in that pass, things were tweaked and little things. And then, you know, over the years before I made it, I just returned to it and tweaked stuff and changed little things. But it was always really important. And I feel like I have. I forget even exactly everything that was in that first 3 days, but the feeling of what the final film is and what I wanted to retain was the feeling of those 3 days, if that makes sense. And more like, instead of writing and then changing and making everything better immediately, it was like first like psychoanalyzing why it came out like that. You know what I mean? And like maybe it's not about that, it's about this, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I feel like the film is, like, watching it, it's very intimate. You know, everybody is so, like, close-knit and, like, literally really close together in a very small setting.
They're trapped in a house with boards on the windows.
So I can imagine you sort of thinking, this is the mood that needs to come across and what the character's doing, and then actually, like, taking a bit of time to build it up to that, because that feels special.
Yes.
You can't just do that off the page and, like, hand it to a bunch of people. Like, but it feels like some real care and attention has got to get the film to that point.
Totally, totally. Yeah, man, I don't even know where to begin, but it's like a ton of thought and care has gone into the film to be what it is. A lot. I've been obsessed with it for a while.
I might just be sort of like, I guess, bringing my own stuff to the film, but I was wondering on set if you were like actually telling people to sort of take things away, because the film lets you as the audience member kind of bring a lot to the movie yourself, which is so rare. Again, like, you often have things, you know, full of exposition and really signposted, and this film is really refreshing, I think.
I hope so. And that, I mean, it was designed to be that way. Not only is that just the storytelling I like, I think even in this movie in particular, especially where things go at the end and what's left unanswered, it was very intentional and meant to be that way. And it actually, at least the working aspect on set and everything, honestly wasn't even stripping away. If anything, it was adding little things. Like, you know, there's like a scene where characters are sharing whiskey and one reveals a detail of his past, Joel Edgerton's character, where in the script, he didn't even say that. He was like, Will asked him a question and he kind of ignored him and went on to another question with Will. And then Joel and I were talking about the history of this character and how we thought he used to be a teacher and all this stuff. And we were like, we played around with adding, you know, so we add a nice little, one of my favorite moments for him, in a little nugget to his backstory, which you see again later when he's reading a book, when he's waiting and everything. But we, even when we were doing that, I had Joel do the version in the movie one way. We did another version where, what is it? He does a similar thing, but more of a riff on it. And then another version where it does as scripted, where he didn't even answer that question. So to me, that's fun, though. That's like, I want my, you know, it's a collaboration. I want people to bring that and do this thing together.
What's it sounds great that you have room on set to sort of talk to people and explore things like that. Is that important to you in your films? And is that something you always try and allow during production, sort of this room?
Hugely. And I wish we would have had even more on this movie, because I think just by the nature of this, this movie was a bit more, what's the right word? I guess specific than Krisha was. Like, it's very close to how the script was. It was more like subtly playing within the like changing things within the strict confines of what it is. Like, Krisha was different in the sense of, like, that was probably 60% scripted, 40% improvised, and like a lot freer. And like, the structure was very intact, and I always knew what it could be, but we had a lot more room to play inside of that. Less so on this, but I think that's the nature just of what the movie was, and it shouldn't have been in the vein of Krisha. But let's see. I don't know. I thrive on that. And the next movie needs to be almost the opposite of this. It's got to be full of life. This movie's so full of death. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
When you're doing things like, when you're experimenting, do you like, I guess that must give you a lot of options in the edit. Is it quite hard to sort of decide, say, with Joel, like, which version of the character you want to go into the movie? And
it is, well, it's out? It depends on the scene too, because there's numerous occasions I put myself in a corner because I'm very specific with how I shoot. Either it's all one take, or I do very selective coverage, which can make the editing process difficult. But at the same time, there's like the whiskey scene we were talking about, or other scenes where it's subtle fluctuations between takes, which is a blast to play with. But honestly, I wish I need to loosen up just a hair with being so specific about how I shoot a scene or cover it. Like, it's good to have backup every now and then. So I'll keep that in mind.
But there must be nothing better than on set when you're like, we're going to do it all in one take, guys. Don't worry about it. And you have to be so confident. And then when you get back, you're like, oh, no, I could have done with it.
It's so true. It's so true.
Was there any like anything that you watched before going in which you gave you inspiration, or even things that you've watched since? You're like, oh, I guess that kind of subconsciously made its way into this movie.
Well, now, 100%. Like, now I can think of everything. I can think of, you know, even more, like, in a horror realm, I think it's certainly, like, Night of the Living Dead and The Shining and The Thing. Mm. Like, for me, I can big time see those things, but almost those combined with sort of a family drama or something. I don't know. I just love movies, and the influences range from anything. I know when I was shooting on my laptop, I had movies that were sort of comfort food, which you wouldn't think of. It was The Shining, There Will Be Blood, and Taxi Driver, which you don't think of as comfort food movie, per se.
I was imagining like Nancy Meyers film.
For me, they're comfort food just because I love... I don't know. I love movies and I love filmmaking, and it's easy, especially those which I've seen a million times. It's easy to just appreciate the craft. Mm. So, like, just to sit back and appreciate the craft and think about it.
Those are like bona fide classics. So yeah. You're like, I want to watch something I know is like AAA, top notch, yeah. And I can just like let it. I love rewatching those films because every time I watch a new movie now, or if I'm watching, you know, doing some research or something, it's always like, yeah, it's good. It's got some things here, but it's so nice to put on like, you know, something like that, you know, and just be like, yeah, this is a film.
Hell yeah.
Got nothing to think about other than just what a story they're trying to tell me.
Exactly. I love it.
It's a genre which is really interesting. When you mentioned the sort of, you know, because it's a horror and a really intimate setting with the family.
Yeah.
Family dramas and horrors and sort of apocalypse stories seem to go kind of hand in hand. I was thinking, like, you know, like in a way, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is kind of.
Oh,
that
I love
too,
Texas. Texas Chainsaw Massacre too. I saw that. That's a specific movie to me, just because I saw it at the perfect age. I was like. Didn't know what it was, stumbled on it on digital cable. It was like me and a friend. I had like a digital cable box in my room at a young age. And it was before the found footage wave. Mm. So we genuinely did not know what this movie was. And it horrified. It shook us to our core. I just remember getting to the end and him tossing the chainsaw around. And we were just in like a state of shock, which is so awesome. And yeah, that's a movie that's haunted me.
But I think like, I don't know, it must be weird like to sort of think of It Comes at Night in the same vein, but like I think there are scenes for especially a younger audience coming to this, teenagers, there are scenes in this which you don't really see in movies now, which are the practical effects and the atmosphere and the tension. You know, like, I think the last time I've experienced something like this was playing the video game Resident Evil 7, which is a very stripped back Resident Evil game. And again, it focuses on a family and you're very isolated. And, like, I felt I was scared playing that game and I was really tense watching your movie.
I hope so. Well, it's funny, I grew up playing the Resident Evil games and loved them. I haven't played Resident Evil 7. But I everything you're saying is amazing. I hope so.
It's really, I mean, it really stands out to the rest of the series because they've got rid of everything.
Really?
It's taking it back to basics. It's Resident Evil 1.
Is it first person too, yeah. though? It's first person, just stripped back to, that's what it needed.
And do you
they
sort
were getting
of forget
a little
about
carried away
everything
with them.
Else. They were turning into sci-fi action things, exactly. Which was fun, but
it was
like,
fun, but it wasn't what it started with, you
we
know?
We were playing it, me and my wife were playing it together, and we were taking turns having a go on the controller, and genuinely, like, I don't want to go in that room. That room, there's a noise coming out of it.
Yeah.
It's too scary. Like, screw can it. You just go back? Why did I pay £40 to play this game?
Love that, man. I can't wait to play it. I can't wait.
But I think, like, yeah, it's just that mood and that atmosphere is really rare. Like, I'm thinking of, like, films that, you know, because I think horror fans will come to see this movie. Sure. And no one's really making things like this that are so stripped back. Like, you have to go back to the classics.
Yeah.
So it's a real, it's really refreshing, and I really hope that people maybe start to take note, and maybe they start to think that we need less, you know, visual effects, and actually just turn the lights off a bit.
I know, right?
Spooky noises.
Well, there's so much tension, and just like, honestly, like, I was just in the hotel room last night. I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. It's a big hotel room, and just like walking through the pitch black is terrifying. Mm. Or just like a light, just. The black void surrounding you that you don't know, just that is terrifying alone. And it's like, you can get so much more out of so little. But that being said, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of modern audiences are, you know, now they're used to so much. Mm, so true. That maybe it's too little to where they'll hate it. At least a lot of mainstream audience in the States hate it. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, I guess you're also getting that reaction from... I feel like word of mouth on this is really interesting, because you're getting like really well-known filmmakers. Like, I saw William Friedkin tweeting about it.
Yeah, that was know? So cool.
And like, that, to have that seal of approval from someone who is a bona fide master...
It's incredible.
Is incredible. And I feel like the word of mouth on this is how, you know, people will hear about it.
I hope so. And I hope... So, you know, I don't have a Twitter and stuff, but my girlfriend keeps me up to date on all that. And I'll see, you know, worst movie ever, worst ending ever... Then I'll see best movie ever. Then I'll see, oh, it was interesting. It made, like, so that's cool, man.
I think having people talk about it is really important, though. There's nothing worse than people just going, it was okay.
Exactly. I would rather people, but it's funny. Some people like really hate it, but it like really hit a nerve, which is interesting. Either they just hate it because it's purely terrible. I like to think romantically and like to think it hit some kind of nerve with them. And then who knows, maybe years from now they'll revisit it and rethink it. I never know, but I don't know. You know, it's like, think about how many movies you see a year where you're like, eh. So it's good to at least have a reaction. And I just hope people talk about it and it makes them think.
I think it's ripe for some, like, when people start putting this into, like, seasons and double bills and stuff. I think, like, that's where... I just think it's got a life definitely in, like, art house cinemas and definitely with, like, fans of the genre. And I think they will talk it up.
I hope so.
So I feel, I don't know. And also, like, how it played in our cinema, like, the other night, you know, people loved it.
Really? I have no idea how it played or anything.
It was, I mean, I guess you say it was a really packed audience, which is great.
The turnout was
like,
amazing.
Hottest day of the year.
Well, I had a friend come that night and he was like, just FYI, if no one's there, don't worry. It's a hot day. We don't go to the theaters when it's like that. So the turnout was incredible.
The UK audience are very fickle because we don't get so much sun here.
Yeah.
So like, you open your movie on a hot day and it could be the best film in the world. 5-star reviews. But I want to have a barbecue.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I grew up in Texas where it's like, get us out of the heat in the AC.
But after it comes at night, kicked out, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. And people had to go and get buses and things, but people were standing around in the cinema, like,
really?
Talking, which was great. So we were sat in the bar, and we were just like, oh, it comes at night, it's kicked out.
Yes.
And just, like, the dwell time. I can always, like, I don't know, it feels good when people stick around.
Yes.
They don't want to go, like, bye.
A friend in the States shot me a text, or he sent me a picture. He was like, people aren't leaving, they're staying around and talking. I was like, that's amazing.
I think that's what you need with something like this. And that's where amazing. The word of mouth comes out of it, you know? Like, yeah. Whether... I don't know what to make of it, but I need to talk about it.
I love that, man. That's exciting to me.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. And
thank
for coming
you.
To the cinema as well. It was really special having you there on that day for that preview. It was our second birthday at that particular venue.
I mean, I'm humbled to be there on the second birthday, man. I love the place, and hopefully back with the next movie sometime.
Absolutely.
Soon.
If you can get it done in time for the third birthday...
That would be impressive.
This is us laying down the challenge. Maybe the fourth.
Yeah. Who knows? I'll shoot for the third. I'll probably fail, but who knows?
Cool. Thanks, Trey. Great talking to you.
Thank you, brother.
You have been listening to the Picture House Podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
I love that, the picture house with the screening at. I had been there before when I was at the London Film Festival with my last film.
Oh, great. Nice.
But yeah, I love that cinema.